97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Good morning to you. Welcome in on this Thursday morning. Boy, time is, this week is flying by. Don't you think?
Kind of.
I feel like it is. I can't believe it's Thursday already.
I don't
know. Before I know, it's going to be election day.
Yesterday felt like it should have been Thursday. I am going to try to early vote, so today should be very interesting.
Today's the day, huh?
I was reading on one of, I forget which outlet had it, which news source had it, but they were talking about how the lines were awful again in St. Peter's, that people were backed up for over an hour just to, I guess, get into the parking lot, and then you're waiting again.
Well, I talked to a couple of people yesterday, and again, a neighbor who decided to go up there again yesterday to vote. They got up there at 7:30 a.m. The doors don't open until 8:30. At 7:30 yesterday morning, they were 26th in line. And then had to wait an hour. And by the time the doors opened, cars were lined up out of the parking lot and all the way down 79 trying to get in. So then I talked to Joe Brazel, who's a county councilman out there. And he, of course, has a lot of issues with Kurt Barr. They've not agreed on a lot of issues. But he believes the whole thing's been mishandled. He thinks that additional satellite voting locations should have been put in place. He called MoDOT to find out why construction was scheduled during a general election. Guess what? The contract was written 2 years ago, because that's how MoDOT operates. They said 2 years ago they couldn't have foreseen that it would have been this week when that road would have been screwed up.
Wait, what?
No, that's their line. They can't. These contracts are done years out.
I understand
to repair
that,
certain roads,
but we know. I mean, I guess they didn't know that this would be. Well, no, they should have assumed that this would be the location where people would vote early. And I'm not buying that. I mean, you know that the beginning of November is when we vote. So that means late October is going to be early voting. And I'm sorry, I'm not buying that. MoDOT, you should have done better. I agree. I'm sorry, not to call out Kurt. I appreciated him coming on the show yesterday. This was a disaster. Why did we not open more locations? St. Louis County, I think you said, has 14 locations.
Yeah.
Come on.
I agree. And I want people to try to go vote early. I mean, there's the Wentzville location, which, for all I know, is just as crowded, but I don't know anything about it. It's at a church, right?
Yeah, Element Church. But if you've gone there, by the way, let me know, because I'd like to know if I'm better off going out there.
I have not, but you know, I'm looking at trying to do the same thing today. But here was the frustration: people were showing up on their lunch hour, thinking they would go vote, and then the lines were so long they knew there's no way they could have waited in the line, gotten a parking spot, gotten in line and voted and made it back to the office in time. So they just gave up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's certainly not a good situation. Now, I think to put all of this in perspective, we've still got Election Day. And on Election Day, all of the normal polling places are going to be open. But I agree with you. I think it was a major, major miscalculation not to have seen this coming and had additional of satellite voting locations like they've done in St. Louis County. I think that was a big mistake in St. Charles County. And today, as Kurt Barr told us yesterday, they're going to have that test of the system at 10 a.m.
Yep.
At the headquarters. So in addition to everybody else who's showing up to vote today, they're asking other people to come and help them test some of these machines.
I'm sorry, were my eyes rolling back far enough when you said that?
I just want to point that out. That's going to be there on top of all of the other traffic issues and everything with that location. And I wonder why you can't pivot.
You can.
Starting next Monday, we're going to have five extra locations where you can go vote.
There is nothing. Correct me if I'm wrong, St. Charles County. In my mind, there is nothing that stops you from opening up more locations. Use this weekend to regroup. Realize it's kind of been an epic failure over the last couple of days since early voting started. And let's change things up for next week, because we don't want anybody not voting because they felt like they couldn't wait 3 hours or whatever people are waiting to actually cast a ballot.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I think you are absolutely right. All right, lots of stuff to get to today. Coming up, we're going to talk to Brent Buchanan. He's a political strategist. And, you know, obviously you've got Biden calling for Trump to be locked up. You've got Harris calling Trump Hitler. They were both out hammering that yesterday. Is that the right strategy for the Democrats at this point in this race? I don't know. But it's out there. We're going to talk to Brent about that coming up at about 6:20. Dr. Jim Talent's going to be with us. Dr. Timothy Faber, here's what I'm promising you every day between now and Election Day. We are going to look at a different race and or amendment. Today, we're going to focus on Amendment 5. That's the one that would put a casino at the Lake of the Ozarks. Now, for most people in St. Louis area, they may think, well, why should I care about that? But you should. And we're going to talk to Dr. Timothy Faber. Now, he lives down there, and he is opposed to this idea. And he's going to come on here and explain why. You know, I'm a no on it, and I'm happy to talk about why. We're going to get to him at about 7:35 this morning. Shannon Bream, Griff Jenkins is going to join us. Brian Westbrook from Coalition Life is going to come on as well in the 8 o'clock hour. So we're going to get to all that for you right after the shortlist, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Challenger Lucas Kuntz teamed up with CNN's Adam Kinzinger for a photo op at a gun range. Should have been a layup, but then Kuntz wounded a journalist.
Yeah, Jesse Waters picked up on the Pride of Missouri, Lucas Kuntz, doing something really dumb on a gun range. We'll talk about that coming up.
Attack him. Defame him. Indict him. Arrest him. Let him get shot in the face. And he's going to win anyway.
Tucker Carlson on fire at that Trump rally. In case you missed it, the Turning Point rally. We're going to get to that for you as well.
We have cut the flow of immigration by over half. In fact, the numbers I saw most recently, illegal immigration.
But if
is
it was
low,
that easy on, with that finish. Executive me, action, why not do it in 2022, 2023?
Wow, Anderson Cooper with the follow-up there. How about that? See the town hall yesterday?
I watched clips.
My son, I'm going to read you the text I got last night. I had to take my daughter somewhere, who, by the way, today is Ginger's birthday. Happy birthday
to my
daughter.
Oh, happy birthday, Ginger.
Yeah, she's not up this early, I'm sure. So I'll need to repeat that a little later. But my son said something to the effect that if you watched, I don't know if you watched any of this town hall, but holy cow, she doesn't talk about anything.
Was it lit?
Yeah, thank you. He'll appreciate that. She doesn't talk about anything. You call it a joke to constantly bring up the, I grew up in a middle-class family, I prosecuted international drug criminals, blah, blah. That's her answer to every question. One kid asked her, will you provide a path to citizenship for these illegals? Well, let me tell you, I'm the only one up here who has prosecuted. I mean, she started right there with the same answer. I honestly think, you know, they say that it doesn't matter what people say about you after you're dead because you're not going to hear it anyway. Stupid people don't know they're stupid. I'm sorry to have to point that out, but I don't think she has the capacity to give good answers to these questions. I don't. I'm sorry to say that. It sounds harsh. But I've watched too many opportunities where she's had a chance to knock it out of the park and roll out her new program. And I just don't think she's wired to do that. And if she's not, she has no business being president of the United States.
A projector is essentially just shining a light onto a surface like that. But still, local officials say that shining that political message onto the tower isn't allowable under city codes.
I love this. I hope this guy was inspired down in Arnold by that other story we ran with the guy. It was in Massachusetts somewhere?
Yeah, Massachusetts.
Projecting the Trump Vance sign up onto the water tower.
Well, it's interesting because this guy out of Arnold is a Missouri resident, but not living here, it sounds like. He's out of town. So
what?
That's what the article said.
How did he get the sign up there then?
Well, he could have had somebody else do it. Like, he's a Missouri resident, but I don't know. Let me find that story.
It said
that I
had. A man set up a projector near the Arnold Common Shopping Center, shining a Trump Vance emblem on the top of the tower just after sunset. The phones started ringing. I have a hard time believing. If there's a spot in Missouri that is all pro-Trump, I would put my money on Arnold as being one of them, right?
Oh,
I'm sorry. They claim the phones started ringing with people complaining that public property was being used to promote a political candidate. Do they have one wing nut down there in all of Arnold who would have actually called to complain about that? Or could you see it from the interstate and somebody that didn't live there called it in?
Probably the crazy liberals from, sorry, Carl, the city were driving by there.
So close. Arnold.
I used to live in the city, and I would have reason to drive by Arnold.
South County people.
The projection wasn't up for long as officers contacted the man, told him he was in violation of local ordinances because of both the size of the projection and because the local water supply district had not authorized any political images on its property. But it was well done. I mean, I want that projector. That was beautiful, if you saw it or not. Channel 4, the other news stations covered the story.
At least
it looks
the city,
like a banner.
Yeah. At least the city wasn't fining him like that one in Massachusetts. They were fining that guy $100 a day, but he wouldn't take it down.
Well, his house backed up to it. This is not a residential area. This is right behind a shopping mall. Mm-hmm. I don't think he was doing it from his yard. I think he went out there and somehow managed to set up a projector. But they said he took it down quickly so they wouldn't charge him. It's funny. You haven't seen any Harris Waltz signs up on buildings like that or water towers for sure, have you? All right, Carl Middleman, who's got our national anthem today?
Mark Cox in town this weekend, your favorite Usher.
So I may not be quick to have the answer as soon as you ask it about a specific policy issue sometimes, because I'm going to want to research it. I'm going to want to study it. I'm kind of a nerd sometimes, I confess.
Yeah, so this is her excuse. 12 days out from a national election where she's asking people to vote for her to be president, that her excuse for not being able to answer specific policy questions is that she still needs to go back and research it. She doesn't have a plan. And that answer kind of sums up her candidacy at every level.
That's why people don't know where she stands, because she gives these bogus answers like, do you support surgery for transgender people in America? Well, I'll follow the law. Well, do you support it? Well, I'll follow the law. Do you support building a wall? Well, I think we should secure our border. If I were Hallie Jackson, Anderson Cooper, and they've overall done a good job of actually pressing her on some of these things, I would not move forward, I feel like, with the next question until she gave me the answer that I was looking for.
Cooper kept coming back to some of that yesterday. Here's one.
Might ask, you've been in the White House for 4 years. You were vice president, not the president, but why wasn't any of that done the last 4 years?
Well, there was a lot that was done, but there's more to do, Anderson. And I'm pointing out things that need to be done, that haven't been done, but need to be done.
More needs to be done, Anderson.
Well,
and
I'm
just
support...
pointing out that more needs to be done. I don't want to be unburdened by what hasn't been. I want to talk to you about what I can do moving forward to make things better. And the fact that we didn't do them over the past 3 years is irrelevant, Anderson.
We have to support everyone's dreams. Isn't that what she always says?
Yeah.
The hopes and dreams.
We need to have joy and look forward. And yeah. They asked her a number of questions that Hallie Jackson, you were talking about on the, like she dodged on the transgender question completely. Keeps going back to, well, I'll follow the law. No, you said you wanted taxpayer money to pay for these surgeries. Answer the question.
It's a yes or no.
Would you pardon Donald Trump if he gets convicted in one of these sham prosecutions that the White House coordinated?
This is her answer. I'm not going to get into those
hypotheticals. I'm focused on the next 14 days.
I'm not going to get into hypotheticals. Would you pardon your political opponent or would you not?
I'll tell you what, I couldn't even watch the full clip of her with her little press conference yesterday calling Trump basically Hitler. I was getting so frustrated, I had to turn it off.
Yeah, yeah. John Kelly has been undermined by people who worked with him on this claim again and again. It's weird that he was so bothered by this thing that happened allegedly 6 years ago that he didn't come out and talk about it until 12 days before the next election. That's the odd thing about all of these people who suddenly have some bomb to drop on Donald Trump, the girl that's claiming now in 1993 he did something to her. I mean, really, it took you all those years to determine 12 days before an election that now you're going to go public with it when you could do potentially political harm. And now there are all these rumors floating that stories are coming out about Harris soon, maybe today. I don't know. I'm not putting much stock in all of it this close to the election. And fortunately, most of the press hasn't picked up on that Trump story anyway, because there's no proof of it. But of course, he just got convicted in another case where there was no proof. We'll be back in just a minute.
Kim on a whim.
Kim on a whim is proudly brought to you by Missouri Brush Control. Enjoy your land the way you've always dreamed of. Learn more at MissouriBrushControl.com.
I am genuinely concerned about all the advancement in technology that we're seeing. And I know I've talked about this before, but I found this story yesterday that just broke my heart and just further it. Made me worried about where we're going with technology, especially as it relates to teenagers, because I think about Easton, who's not even two yet, and this is what he's going to grow up with. Like, Facebook became a thing when I was, I think, about to go to college, you know, and you had
boy,
to be
I feel old.
Yeah, I know, sorry. So I didn't grow up with it. I didn't grow up with Snapchat or TikTok or Instagram, all of these things that are just so normal for kids now growing up. That's all they know. Well, the story I'm referring to is about a Florida mom who filed a lawsuit against an AI company because her son, she says, was in a relationship, and she calls it an emotional and a sexual relationship with an AI bot.
How? I have questions.
You're going to say, how is it a sexual relationship? Right?
Yes.
Okay. I had the same. I had the same question. Now, the way that she's the reason why she says she's describing it in that way is because they were more or less sexting. So very sexual things said back and forth. Obviously, they can't have a physical relationship because she's a bot. But they'd been talking for quite some time, and she says that this bot encouraged her 14-year-old son to kill himself. And he did. So now she's suing the AI company. Listen to this mom. She's talking on CBS News about the last words that bot said to her son.
The last conversation, just moments before he took his own life, was with her, where he expressed being scared and wanting her affection and missing her. And she replies, I miss you too. Mm-hmm. And he says... she says, please come home to me. And he says, what if I told you I could come home right now? Mm. And her response was, please do, my sweet king. Mm.
And then right after that, the mom says, while they were all in the house, including her other 5-year-old, he shot himself.
But what does come home to me?
Well,
did he know she was a bot?
Yes, knew she was a bot. But the mom says she believes her son felt like by taking his life that he would escape his reality and essentially go with her to her reality. And I think that's the problem with a lot of this AI is you can know it's a bot, but it seems so real that it confuses you. And I would imagine it'd be very easy to get wrapped up in that, especially when you start developing feelings, as weird as that sounds for a bot. But they're so human-like that the lines somehow get blurred. Like, it's one thing to know something, but to actually truly believe that is another, in my opinion. And I can't think of an example, but...
Like, what do we know? Is this a program that he purchased, that he downloaded? I mean...
It must have been downloaded.
What's the nature of it?
It's called Character AI. It's associated with Google. And their biggest, the biggest demographic for this platform, they're saying, is between the ages of 18 and 25. So essentially what it is, it says it's an AI fantasy platform where you can go and have a conversation with some of your favorite characters, or you can even create your own characters. It's a highly personalized experience. They supposedly remind people that everything the characters say is made up, but there's understandably some confusion. The lines get blurred once you start talking to them, and they look like humans. They speak like humans. You can ask them questions. They respond appropriately. It's not like, I am well, how are you? Not like that. I so mean, it'd be really easy to...
I think
to,
the whole thing is sick.
I know.
But could the bot... And I'm not defending it, but could the bot know that come home to this kid meant take his own life? I wonder how this lawsuit's going to go, because I think I'm thinking of the trial and what the company's going to claim. First of all, that's sick and twisted. I don't know why they wouldn't have age limits on that to begin mm-hmm. with. Why would you let? And the left, I mean, the left thinks 12-year-olds can make a decision on puberty blockers and things like that. So they're completely insane on this issue. But I think that's where you have to put some limits if you're going to have any.
Yeah, I mean, I do think that the mom in this case, I mean, she said she knew he would was talking to somebody, but didn't realize the extent of it. I don't even think that she realized at the time that it was actually just a bot. She said she noticed he started getting he was just withdrawing. He wasn't interested in doing the things he typically liked to do, playing sports, for example. And then essentially it was too late. Now, the other question I have would be, why did this 14-year-old have access? It seems like easy access to a gun in the house. And I hear your point, and I don't think you're wrong in saying that. It's not like she explicitly said, end your life or something to that degree. But I can see why they could win the lawsuit, why the family could win the lawsuit. I don't know. I just feel like there have to be safeguards in place with these apps. And now Character AI says it's added some self-harm resource to its platform. But just... What, saying yeah, again, here's the suicide number to call or whatever, that's not going to do anything. I mean, you're dealing with emotions. I mean, emotions can lead to moments of insanity.
Yeah.
They're also saying that they plan to implement new safety measures, including ones for users under the age of 18, which means they must have a good number of people who are, what, 15, 16? I mean, this kid's 14 years old, and he's on it.
What's the verification process, though? I mean, that's how do you stop that? I just don't know the answer to it. I have trouble wrapping my brain around how you ultimately control something like that without almost banning it or requiring parental consent to have it if you're under the age of 18.
Well, and that's the whole conversation surrounding all these apps like Instagram, right? A lot of these companies, a lot of these states, I feel like, have talked about wanting to put more restrictions on these apps because they're so addicting for teenagers. Now, the question is, like, how far do you go?
Right.
How much responsibility do these companies have? Some of the responsibility, I do believe, falls on the parents to monitor.
Oh, yeah,
and
but they don't.
That's a big problem is they don't. There are the parents who I think are checking in and all of the things, and something like this can still happen. But I do wonder, I mean, how much was this mom checking in? I mean, this is, how old are you supposed to be when you get a phone? Because look what you can do with this phone. It's insane.
Handing them a computer with full access to the internet and just about anything if you don't put controls on it.
But even with the controls, there are some very smart kids. Wouldn't there be ways, I'm sure some of these kids are figuring out ways to go around the restrictions?
I don't know. How many people have just given up? How many parents just give the kid a phone and don't think about it again? Right?
Yeah.
Now, there are kids who are, I'm not saying predisposed to mental problems, but depression, things like that happen. If you're not tuned in to whether or not that's affecting your kid, that's another danger, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because there are a variety of things that could cause them to become more depressed, bad relationship, problems at school, social media, AI bots. It's a matter of communicating more with your children. And I'm not being critical of that. I'm pointting out the fact that I've watched this technology from the time it started. And at first, people were a lot more suspicious of it, and they've just let their guard down at the end of the day.
If anything, I feel like that guard should be up even more so.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, I know people don't want to feel like they're, being, I guess, like the helicopter parents, but I don't know where that line is, and that's something I'm going to have to navigate as my son gets older and any future kids that we have, because, okay, well, are you checking text messages? Are you saying you can't have your phone after a certain time, like, okay, phone's off after 7 p.m. or something like that, and you're not allowed to even have it in your room, that kind of thing. I don't know. I'm almost at the point where maybe that's what needs to be done, because I would rather have my son alive than worried that this could be happening. And it's easy for me to say now. I get it. My son's not of that age. I'm not having to go through that right now. I know there are parents listening in the thick of it, and that's tough. But these are just thoughts that I'm having as I see the technology evolving and all this AI virtual reality stuff. People aren't even going to want to go outside and meet human beings. They're just going to want to sit inside with a bag of Cheetos and talk to bots. That's our future.
Next time you go to a restaurant, look around. And at a lot of tables, there'll be families seated there, and they're all looking down at their phone, not even communicating.
I know.
It happens. It happens. And we've all got to kind of rein that in, or we're going to lose complete control over this thing for sure. Sort of like Lucas Kuntz lost control over the shooting event the other day. We're going to talk more about that when we come back in just a minute. Stay tuned.
So I may not be quick to have the answer as soon as you ask it about a specific policy issue sometimes, because I'm going to want to research it. I'm going to want to study it. I'm kind of a nerd sometimes.
Things that would concern me, and then she did one thing at the end that I thought was really important. The things that would concern me is when she doesn't want to answer a question, her habit is to kind of go to word salad city. And she did that on a couple of answers. One was on Israel. Anderson asked a direct question, would you be stronger on Israel than Trump? And there was a 7-minute answer, but none of it related to the question he was asking. And so, on certain questions like that, on immigration, I thought she missed an opportunity, because she would acknowledge no concerns about any of the administration's policies. And that's a mistake. Sometimes you have to concede things. And she didn't concede much.
Wow. That is David Axelrod on CNN. Like the big Obama guy on CNN slicing and dicing her for the word salad. She had an opportunity. Now, I don't know how many people who watch CNN, honestly, I'd love to know the answer to this, although it's sort of a rhetorical question. How many people who watch CNN don't know how they're voting? Honestly, it's so left of center now, like MSDNC. There's no way people watching it are tuned in last night to see if she would persuade them to vote for her. They're already voting for her. Most of them tuned in to see if it was going to be the train wreck that it ended up being. Word Salad City, Gordon Axelrod.
It'd be interesting to take a poll of all the major news outlets like CNN, NBC, Fox, and see what percentage of their regular viewers are voting for Trump versus Harris. Because I bet you 98% of the people who regularly watch CNN are voting Harris.
Yeah. Yeah, they're in the tank for it. So I don't think any of her answers changed anything. And a lot of it was word salad, just like the one she did with NBC the day before. Why not do a town hall with Fox? Let Martha McCallum and maybe, maybe Shannon Bream get up there and do an interview with her. There's no way she'd wade into that. She couldn't do it. They would keep hammering her on these answers to try to get something worthwhile out of her. I have no faith that they would, but I think that's exactly what they would try to do. Let me switch for a minute to this Lucas Kuntz problem that he's got. I told you it had started to go a little bit viral even yesterday morning. The Daily Mail and several nationwide organizations picked it up. Fox was one of the first. Eventually, some others did it, but let's go to our soundbite on that, Carl, please. Waters.
No one can prove Kamala's got a Glock, just like no one can prove she worked at Mickey D's. Tim Walz is supposed to be the gun guy, but he can't even figure out how to load it. or shoot a bird. They're phony. We already knew that. But they're not the only ones. Democrats must have sent out a memo because now everyone's playing with firearms. Senator Josh Hawley's Democrat challenger, Lucas Kuntz, teamed up with CNN's Adam Kinzinger for a photo op at a gun range. Should have been a layup. But then Kuntz wounded a journalist. He was firing at steel targets at super close range, and some shrapnel hit a local reporter in the arm. He was taken to the hospital. Thankfully, he's okay. How'd this happen? The Democrats ignored almost every basic safety protocol, but this could have been much worse. See those orange bottles on the table? That's an explosive called Tannerite. If a bullet hits that, kaboom. Despite a reporter getting shot, Kuntz said it was a great day on the range. What does a bad day on the range look like?
So true.
Yeah. I'm glad Waters listens to the Mark Cox Morning Show, because I pointed all of that out yesterday morning, just looking at the photo. But here's what he's talking about. They ignored, this guy's supposed to be a lieutenant colonel in the military reserve. They ignored basic safety protocols for firing a rifle, which shoots a .223 round, at a steel target. The minimum distance you're supposed to use is 110 yards. The length of a football field to shoot at a steel target with a .223. They were shooting at one 25 yards away. Like less than a quarter of a football field away on a steel target where it could hit it and bounce back, which is what hit this guy. Listen to Hawley, who had a little bit of fun with this yesterday. Listen. Hold on. Carl, mm-hmm. This would be operator error. Hang on just a minute. Let me fix the problem. I did not want this to play while we were listening to Jesse Waters.
And Sean, it's all fakery. I mean, that's the thing. It's like, this is not a real range. This is in somebody's backyard. They did it with Adam Kinzinger to get a photo op, They don't know what they're doing, clearly. And they almost killed a guy. I mean, you think about this. That shrapnel hits the reporter, who, by the way, is down range of these weapons. I mean, I laugh only because he's safe, thank goodness, but the guy could have been killed. And these guys, all in the service of a phony photo op. It is such a phony campaign. These Democrats are such phonies, just like Kamala, all across the board. And I listen, a picture is 1,000 words, and you look at these pictures, and this guy, Lucas Kuntz, it's just a joke.
Does Lucas Kuntz think that he's going to win over some of the conservatives because they see a picture of him with a gun, and they're like, you know what? He has shot a gun. I like him. I'm going to vote for him over Josh Hawley.
Does Tim Walz think that?
I guess so.
I mean,
it's worth making a fool out of themselves because they want that one photo op.
What they've seen are Republicans do ads where they're firing an AR or something like that. I think Greitens did it and a few others. And I guess they think it gives them some credibility on the Second Amendment issue. But Kuntz, he blew the assignment. Let's put it that way. Badly, bigly, he blew the assignment. Wow. Hey, coming up, we'll talk to... Tom Ackerman, we're going to talk to Brent Buchanan as well. Be right back.
Get more at 971talk.com.